You have your Bibles this morning. Would you make your way to the book of Acts? The book of Acts, the 8th chapter would be where our text will be this morning. You cannot preach on the subject of missions and not at least find yourself in the book of Acts. So if you'll make your way to the 8th chapter today, we'll begin there. At the same time, while you're doing that, I want you to hold in your hand your Faith Promise Missionary Offering card that was in the bulletin, and I hope and pray that you have one, or if you're a husband and wife, you may give together. My wife and I, we do ours together, so you might have one per a couple there or something. But I want you just to hold it here, and let me talk to you about it just a moment. Many of you are very familiar with this. We do this year in and year out in the month of September. Prior to me becoming the pastor of this church back in 2006, I was a co-pastor in 2005 with Pastor Lehman, and I know that Pastor Lehman led our church in Faith Promise Missionary Offering Giving. I know prior to Pastor Lehman, Pastor Rogers led our church in Faith Promise Missionary Giving. So our church has a history of supporting missionaries, and I'll tell you, I'm proud of that history, and I thank God for that. We set aside time in our church every September to look at what God would have us do financially in supporting missionaries around the world. And so we hand you this card. If you notice, it has a dotted line that goes through the center of the card. And you will begin to pray over this card and ask God what he would have you to do on either a weekly, biweekly, or monthly responsibility in the area of missions giving. And then on September the 30th, which will be our anniversary Sunday, that is when we will collect the cards as a church. And I'm asking you to hold your card until then, unless you're not going to be here on that day. And, of course, everybody's going to be here on that day. I already know that. I feel that. But hold your card, and we'll turn them in together. And I want it to be an awesome moment of faith and worship in our God as we do that. And so your responsibility now for the card is just to keep it somewhere visible in your life and begin to pray and ask God, God, what would you want me to do for missions? My responsibility as the pastor is to preach to you on the subject of missions. My responsibility is to make sure that we understand the heart of God in missions, and that we have a missions heart. I'm preaching a message today entitled, A Missions Mindset. My responsibility is to teach you that missionary giving is not just something that a Baptist church does or Plantation Baptist Church does. It's in the Bible from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9. We are taught the responsibility to give a missionary offering. 1 Corinthians teaches us that responsibility. And then my responsibility as your pastor is to show you that the awesome blessing that it is in your life personally to be involved in Faith Promise Missionary Giving. Would you just listen to something for me? And I would ask you, church, to be faithful in this. If you are a current giver to Faith Promise Missionary Giving, and you can look back over the past year and you can see where God has richly blessed you out of that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. And we do, and we've seen that. Pastor, I face, as the pastor, two thought processes here. I have people here that you weren't here a year ago. Let me just show you by raising of hand. Pastor, last September, we were not a part of Plantation Baptist Church. We didn't even know about Plantation Baptist Church. We have come to Plantation Baptist Church since last September. If that would be you, would you just lift your hand? Lift it up high. All right, so you see all the people here. So they're new to our church. And so I have a responsibility, I don't necessarily know all the background there, to present missions on that level. And then we have our current people, and you are involved in it. You say, yeah, Pastor, and I can't wait for it to be over because I'm going to quit. Let me tell you something. If your mindset is, I'm going to finish up my commitment through the end of September, but I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you to understand that the worst thing you can do as a believer is not give to missions. Why, Pastor? There's two words you better just let bang around in your mind. There's the first word of sufficiency, and there's the second word of supply. Sufficiency and supply. The Bible teaches that because we participate in missionary giving, we have the promise of sufficiency, and we have the hope and promise of supply. I don't know who has the most money in this church. I know it's not me, but I'm not sure who it is. But I don't know what your bank accounts are. But we have a tendency to kind of look at our own means and measure our demands and our supply by our own means. I know this enough about God. If I, as a believer, take my faith and my hope and I put it all on my resources that I think I have accumulated, and I kind of put all of my faith in that and do not trust the Lord, I know what God will do. God will either do one of two things. He'll either strip you of those resources, or he will either give you a need that's greater than your resources, because God said he would not share his glory with anybody else. And so you may have $5 million in some account, but my friends, if you trust that and you're not trusting the Lord, I promise you God's going to send you a $6 million need. That's just what God does. And so the promise to us, and I'm going to preach and teach you this in the weeks to come, because I'm a faith promise missionary giver, it doesn't matter to me what the number is on my need, or it doesn't matter to me what the intensity of my need is. 2 Corinthians tells me that God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that me always having all things will be sufficient to all things. So because I'm a faith promise giver and I give the missions, I go to God many times and I say, now God, I've got this need and it's more than that is capable in my own life, but you promised me sufficiency. And so I need you to minister to me sufficient resource to take care of the need. And your pastor standing here, and I'm going to take my pastor coat off and for just a second, and I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to tell you, Thomas Alexander, that's my middle name, Hunter Jr., Tommy's a third, I stand here simply as a believer, and I let you know that there has not failed in my life one word that all God has promised to me. And he enables sufficiency. Then people want to say, well, God promised me he would supply all my need. You go back and you read Philippians. God didn't promise everybody he would supply their need. You can't read the Bible that fast. God promised that he would supply the need of missionary giving people. That church at Philippi had given a missions offering to Paul. And those Macedonian churches, they gave such a sacrificial offering that they believed God wanted them, that Paul, under the authority and inspiration of God, responded back to them and said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He gave that promise to missionary giving people. So if you cut that blessing and that responsibility in your life, and I use a phrase here and it's a little bit grotesque, but I'll use it, you might as well slit your own throat. Because you have just cut off the sufficiency of God and you've just cut off the supply of God. And let me tell you something, we need God's sufficiency and supply in our lives. So it's not, you got to have biblical understanding. And as a pastor, I'm driven to make sure that you don't just listen to me here and then go home and forget everything that God has said. That's why I preached to you from the Bible. It's our responsibility to go home and apply what we have learned. So here I am with this responsibility of introducing new people to missions. I've got church people, and you're looking at your situation, and you're thinking, well, I'm going to be done with this. And then I've got others of us, we've seen the great power of God, and we're looking forward to going forward here. And so it's an awesome time in our church, and we're busy in our church right now, and then we've got a lot going on. I got some things to announce to you coming up that are going to be exciting. We've got missions month, we've got the anniversary, we've got this building project, we've got fall festival, we've got Christmas. My man, time waits for nobody, but they're good days. And I need you to stop and understand a little bit about our church. Now, I'm giving this huge introduction, and I'm killing myself with time, but I'm going to do it. God is very good to Plantation Baptist Church. Look at all he's accomplished in us. We've seen almost 100 people be saved since January 1st. 100 people. Our offerings are coming in. The building is getting paid for. The spirit of the people is good. There's wonderful vision and wonderful unity. And God has just got, and you tell me this all the time, Pastor, God's got kind of a special anointing on our church. We're experiencing something here that maybe not every church is experiencing. And people ask me all the time, Pastor, what do you attribute it that to? Well, let me tell you, the least attribution I do is me. It ain't because of me. It's because I believe that Plantation Baptist Church loves the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's true, say amen. And I believe that not only do we love the Lord, but we have the same heart as God does. If you want God to strip his blessing from us, then you let us be removed from missions, because missions is the heart of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil came after me hard about not even doing missions this year. I thought, Lord, we're so busy. We're giving here. We're giving there. We're doing all of this. And I wrestled with it in my spirit. And I almost thought, you know, I just won't say anything and we'll just go by and do it. And the Lord has a way of just getting my attention. And he grabbed my attention. He said, no, no, no. The reason you have what you have is because you have a mission-hearted people. And so I'm begging and I'm asking God to burn within our soul as a church the thought of missions. And so I'm going to preach you a message today entitled A Missions Mindset. Pick up, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. Let's just go here in verse number 26 for sake of time. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. You know Philip, he was a great preaching deacon, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Boy, that's an important phrase in this passage. This guy had been to Jerusalem and he was worshiping. Pick up verse 28. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he, this is the Ethiopian, said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired, oh, you ought to underline those three words. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That, of course, is speaking of Jesus. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, say it, class, Jesus. All right, look this way. Pastor, what are you talking about when you're talking about missions in a church? If you go to the fourth verse of Acts chapter 8, I believe there's a great description of what missions and the heart of missions is all about. Why are you setting aside 3 weeks to look at missions? Well, verse number 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The definition for biblical missions is going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missions work may take on different forms. It may take on different responsibilities. It may have some humanitarian effort involved. But at the heart of true biblical missions is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our heartbeat is, in missions, is that the gospel is preached. Matthew chapter 28, you know the Great Commission given to the church. go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, be witnesses of me in all of the world. Mark, the Bible teaches us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so when we're talking about biblical missions, we are talking about going and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this. All other missionary work can only exist at the platform of the foundation of the gospel being preached. And so we have missionaries doing all kinds of things, but if you want to be a biblical missionary and you want to be a biblical church involved in biblical missions, then we are involved in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, all right? So that's what we're talking about when it comes to missions, and do not be distracted on that. And so I want to look at four thoughts here that I find in this passage that I think are beautiful. And to give you the illustration of the passage here, you have this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, and he's been to church. He's been to the Jewish service. He's been to Jerusalem to worship, and yet he's empty as can be. And so he went there to worship, but he did not find satisfaction for his soul. And on the way home, he's reading Isaiah, and God sees that, and God begins to move in favor and in love for this man. And so I want you to understand, first off, that there is a requirement we find in the scriptures for missions. God commands us to be involved in missions. And if we believe in God, then we will believe in missions. If we are a child of God, we will believe in missions. If we are Bible people, we will believe in missions. God is the great missionary. And so here we find an example of this. If you would go to verse number, if you looked in the passages here prior to these verses, you will find that there's a great revival taking place and there's an awesome work going on in the city, but there's a man in the desert. And the man in the desert is a man that is searching for the true knowledge of salvation. He is a man worshiping, he's religious, but he's empty inside. And if you read the text, you will find that it's not Philip's idea to go and be with the man. It's God's idea to search after the man. It's God's idea to send the man of God there. And so God knows about this man. God knows the emptiness of his heart. God knows the desire of his heart. God knows the longing for that, for his desire to be saved. And God loves him. And God is not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. So it's the heart of God that's broken here. It's the heart of God that is intense. It's the heart of God that's got eyes to see. It's the heart of God that chooses the man. It's the heart of God that provides. And so God comes and God says, Philip, arise and go. If you look in verse number 26, it's the command of God given to Philip to go and be involved in missionary terms. And that word go should be so familiar to the church. We find it everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think that word arise in verse 26 is so important because we need churches to stand up and go. We need people to understand the heart of God. And so God says, Philip, arise and go into the desert because there's a man there that needs to be saved. Let me tell you something. We need missionaries. We need men and women to be available and ready to go and preach the gospel around the world. And if God is impressing on your heart to get up and to go, then my friend, the greatest thing you can do is get up and go. And we need our kind of missionaries. We need our missionaries. Well, Pastor, the world has enough missionaries. Let me tell you something. If a missionary is not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith in him, he's not a Bible missionary. What good does it do for somebody to go to Ghana, West Africa, and take a false gospel there? What good does it do for a young couple to go and teach those people that they need to be water baptized, or teach those people that they can do good, or teach those people they find salvation in some other name? Listen, we know the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. And we need our missionaries. We need our people. We need people from within this church to say, I will go, Pastor. I will go. I will take the blessed gospel, the eternal truth, and I will go and give them the word of God. It is important not only that there is a missionary, but the message is important. We've got missionaries in all kinds of denominations, missionary in every walks of life, but my friend, there's only one message that needs to be preached, and that's Jesus Christ. And so here is the heart of God. And the requirement is to get up and to go. And it's so important is that our church understands that that's God's heartbeat for us to go. Is it God's heartbeat for us to give? Yes. But you cannot tell me in a church of 500 or 600 people that God's not calling somebody for full-time missions. And I'm challenging you on this. You know, it seems like at the end of people's life is when things of eternal value begin to line up. Some of you that are getting older and you understand that life is only so long, and people come to me and they say, Pastor, I want to begin to get my affairs in order and get my house in order, and maybe somebody close to you dies, and pretty soon you realize that human life is not forever, and that there's an end to that, and all of the sudden it's like this sharp single focus comes in and we are glaringly focused on eternal matters. Can you imagine the influence for Jesus Christ if we could have that focus at an early age? Could you imagine if somebody in their 20s, in their 30s, well, I'm going to be 40, so let's use 40s here. Young people could obey the call of God. I'm not naive. I read that book and I pray, and I know that God touches the hearts of people. And I dare say God's touching some hearts in our church, and he wants you to get up and quit your business, quit your job, change, and go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the greatest thing you can do is surrender that call and go and do it, and you will be amazed at what God can do in your life. But we need our kind of people to go and take the gospel. It's the heart of God. Philip understood that personal responsibility. God gives a requirement. Look at Philip's responsibility. Look at verse number 27. And he prayed about it. And he went to school. And he waited till he had enough money to pay his bills. And when he was debt free, and when the stars aligned, and his mama told him, he went. Does your Bible say that? Does your life say that? If your Bible doesn't say that, does your life say that? Let me tell you something. I left home. I used to say I didn't go to a foreign country, but I came to South Florida. Almost the same thing. But I know what it is to yield to the call of God on my life. Pastor, if you had it to do all over again, would you surrender to God's call? Look me in my four eyeballs in a heartbeat. If God puts a unique calling on your life for full-time service, greatest thing you can do is yield to that. Look at verse 27. And he arose and he went. He understood that responsibility. There was no arguing with God. There was no waiting. God called him, God opened the door, and God sent him. Now, I understand there's some preparations of some things, and the acres are on deputation, and there's some schooling there. But there wasn't an excuse in his mind. He got up and he went. See, the requirement from God was to go. His responsibility was to yield to the requirement. Now, let me link with you how you make this decision. Here's how you make this decision. You will never make this decision cerebrally. Is that a word? Good. Thank you, Malcolm. You'll never make it in your brain. Your brain will always find excuses not to do God's will. If you're going to surrender to the calling of God on your life, you don't do it with your brain, you do it with your heart. Now let me prove it to you. Go to the very first verse of Acts chapter 8 and look at some things here. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That's Stephen's death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. There's tremendous persecution going on for the cause of Jesus Christ. But look at verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now look what Philip did in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, which was a no-no anyway, in a kind of a cultural way, and preached Christ unto them. Verse number 6 says, and the people with one accord gave heed. Verse number 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. You see, the early church, they did something better than I think the church in the 2012 does. I think they loved the Lord more fervently. Now, stay with your pastor. Why do you obey God? What's the motivation of our hearts in any area of our service? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, as I make a decision in my life as to what God wants for me, the measure or the value and how I value that decision is how I value and love the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Saul was killing them, but they loved the Lord more than their own life. There's havoc everywhere, but they knew that people needed Jesus and they knew there was a calling on their life. So at their own expense, at the very threat of their lives, in loving the Lord Jesus more than anything, they went forward. Listen, our responsibility cannot solely be out of duty. Our responsibility must be measured by our love for Jesus Christ. Whether you're called to full-time work or not, every area of our life as we serve him in whatever capacity that is, you can't just serve because of duty. We better serve because we love him. And Philip served because he loved him, and it was tied to that valuation, and he understood that responsibility, and he got up and he went. Now listen, Philip was an individual, but there's also a third thing. There's a recognition of the church. If you look at verse number 1, you find the word church mentioned. If you look at verse number 3, you find the word church mentioned. It's imperative that as there's a requirement by God for missions, and there should be a personal responsibility to missions from all of us, whether we're called to go in the foreign field or not, we should be involved in missions work where we are. But then there needs to be the recognition of the church that embedded in our nature and in our heart is missions. Listen, your mind as a church member ought to be dominated by missions. There ought to be a burden and a concern. Pastor, what are we doing to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And if you were to go back in Acts chapter 4, you would find that that thought dominated the church. I don't have time to go there. But if you look at verse number 27 or verse number 26, the command of Philip was to arise and go. And I think there's a little bit of truth in that for churches today. We need to get up and get out. We need to get up and get out. Let me ask you a question. And be honest with your preacher. And you don't have to be ashamed of this. How many in some manner this week presented Jesus Christ to somebody? Whether you left the track or you physically talked to somebody, let me see your hand. All right, a few. But let me tell you something. That's the responsibility of all of us. All of us. All of us. But we don't think about it. We don't think about it. It doesn't dominate us. Why? Why doesn't it dominate us about whether people are going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell? All we want to do is make sure they got my steak medium, not medium well. But the lady serving your steak is going to die and go somewhere. Amen? Yeah. So I know. I'm kind of on you a little bit, but I love you. I do love you. So I'm stepping on them. And if you're visiting with us, just, I don't know if I love you or not, or your feet clean, but I'm stepping on them anyway. Listen, we can't get distracted. This ain't our home. We're just passing through. So we got a lot going on in our church right now. A whole lot. And I think back and I say, now, God, there's so much, I'm distracted in my own thinking. But God says the commission of the church has always been to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you go back and you read Acts 2, 3, and 4, the early church had threatenings and distraction and persecution and prison and all of that. But they never lost their focus of missions. We cannot afford that as a church, and you cannot afford that as an individual. Can't get so distracted that I'm not taking the name of Jesus to people that need Christ. So there's a recognition of the church. And then there's a great reward. Listen, there's no greater reward than for somebody to come to faith in Christ over our witness. And I don't have time to develop that, but if you were to look down at verse number 35... Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Let me just stop and put a parenthesis here so you understand. Did you know that you need permission to be baptized? You need permission. Nobody can get water baptized without permission. Pastor, what? You lost your mind. No, look at the word. Come on now. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, what are those two words? Thou mayest. Who gives us permission to be baptized? Good question. Well, let's keep reading. Look at the Ethiopian eunuch sentence. And he answered and said, I, what's that word, class? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a permission statement. Nobody can be water baptized without believing that Jesus is the Son of God. In order to be water baptized, I must first be born again. To be water baptized in any capacity, whether you were sprinkled, whether you were immersed, whether you were dunked once, whether you were dunked three times, whatever happened to you, if you were water baptized without the permission of being born again, you did not have permission to be baptized, and you better be saved. That's true. Oh, that's good preaching if you could get a hold of that. Because we got people call me, Pastor, will you baptize my little baby? They don't have permission to be baptized. Pastor, I want to be baptized. Have you been born again? No, but I want to be water baptized. No, you don't have permission to be water baptized. You got to be saved first. And so here's the Ethiopian eunuch. And he wants to be baptized. And Philip says, you don't have permission. But if you believe and you receive Jesus Christ, then look at verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip under the, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that's the eunuch, went on his way, say it class, rejoicing. Listen, the greatest reward you could ever have in your spiritual life is to see somebody born again and rejoice in that salvation. And the reward of the church is that we get to share Christ with others on a local level, on a state level, on a country level, and around the world. And thousands of people are coming to faith and rejoicing over being saved. And by the way, people need the Lord in our world today. Your neighbor that has two boats, five cars, and a big house, he is not satisfied if he does not know Jesus Christ. We measure satisfaction by things. We do. Well, they drive a BMW, so they must be satisfied. I would like to try that myself personally. But no. Or they got this, so they're doing pretty good, Pastor. They don't need the Lord. Let me finish a verse with me. What good is it if a man should gain the whole world but lose his own what? His own soul. We got to think and speak and view with a biblical mindset. So I'm coming to you with missions. Some of you need to get up and go. Some of you need to get up and go. God has just put a special calling on your heart. It's just, you can't get away from it. It beats on you. You need to get up and you need to go. So, all of us need to be missionaries where we are. All of us need to participate in Faith Promise Mission. All of us need to pray. We all need to be involved. We all need the heartbeat of God. I don't think that you have a weird pastor, but I'm going to share a little secret with you. Some of you already have your funeral message and you're not dead yet. What? What's wrong with you? Yeah. Sometimes God will let me talk to you and God will let me see something about you. And I have a little piece of paper and I go in and I jot down, if I do their funeral, I'm preaching this message. Now you're in real big trouble when I schedule that day. By the way, we got two funerals coming up, one on this coming Saturday for Gene Stockton and one next Saturday for Winfred Richards. Tom Litzenberg's dying. And Brother Jim Hamilton and I went to see him the other day, and he's just eaten up with cancer. You wouldn't even, if you looked at him, you wouldn't recognize the big guy that used to come to church. He's eaten up. About a month or two ago, God gave me the funeral message for Tom Litzenberger. And I wrote it down. And he was talking to me about, Pastor, the number one thing I want to do when I die is, he said, I want to know when I go that I take as many as I can with me. Some of you men are soldiers and you ladies are soldiers and you fought in a war. Sometimes in war, a man's going to die, he's going to give his life, but he has a mindset, I'm going to take as many of them as I can with me. Listen, we're in a battle for the cause of righteousness. Our country, our world is at war with Jesus Christ. I'm glad I serve in the army of the Lord. If you do, say amen. But we kind of need this mindset that we're going to take as many as we can with us. So let me just bring missions real down close to you and I'll be done. No man ought to want to go to heaven without his wife. You might want to send her there before you get there, but you shouldn't want to go without her. No mom and dad ought to want to go to heaven without their kids. You're telling me you want to be in heaven and your kid in hell? You're telling me you can live with that? You're telling me that you don't want to stand there and hold your family before the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you kidding me? We ought to want to take as many people as we can with us. Because I promise you, heaven's not some figment of your imagination. It's a real place. And Jesus isn't just some man that people can wipe their feet on and despise. He's the living Lord. And we better have churches that have a mission mindset. We're going to take as many as we can with us. And when we get to heaven one day, we'll all stand there and say, to God be the glory for eternal salvation. And God's people said, amen. That's missions. Stay focused. listen, God, what do you want to do in my life for missions? He'll show you. Shall we pray?